discouraged me. I told him, I said, you know, I've had a conversation with you, and it's like I've had a chance to talk with, like I'm talking to my dad, because I'm teaching and I'm learning. And that was just like a wonderful thing. It's amazing when you can take a withdrawal from where you made a deposit. Somebody clap your hands right there. Put something in him, because later you may have to make a withdrawal. Whew. That's powerful, man. So I drew back from the many years of pouring in at a time that I needed it the most. And that brother was talking to me yesterday. I just wanted him. I wanted him to be a preacher. I wanted him to be a prophet. I wanted him to be everything. I'm like, God, use him. You know what I mean? This man has something to say to people. And so that was what has certainly inspired me today. And I said that because I want you to have that relationship with God, to know that he's going to do something that's going to supercharge you. He's going to do something that's going to supercharge you. You don't have to just go barely making it, you know, just on reserve. God can do something in your life, and he is looking to do something in your life that's going to supercharge you. It's not going to be money, people. It's not going to be material things. God's going to do something in your spiritual life that's going to supercharge you. Just going to have you hollering and telling everybody, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's already all right. That's right. It's going to be all on the countenance, on your face. I looked in the mirror this morning, and I felt like a new creature. I'm rested, too. I don't know what you all did, but over these last couple of weeks, I slept in every morning that I could. I used to think it was hard to stay in bed, but I did not find it hard. I called somebody, they say, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I just was asleep. So, and I hope that you all rested too. Did you get some rest? I left some of y'all messages. Can't be everything to everybody. You got to rest yourself too. You got to remember what God said to Moses. He's saying to you too. Slow it down, delegate, so that you can be here a long time. Amen. So now let's go to 2 Peter. I need this to be something that is really teaching this morning, okay? Because this is that kind of lesson. It's really, really a teaching moment. Second Peter chapter 2, I'm going to start reading at verse number 4, and then I'll continue through 9. I'm reading from King James. Yours is going to be different, but try to listen and read at the same time and hear what the scripture says, okay? Verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the day of judgment, and if God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and God turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example. He made them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse number 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I'm going to say that one more time. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I don't really know what you heard when I read, but I know what I read and I understood what I read. I understand clearly that Peter is writing, telling us that God is going to oversee the blessed continuation of those that are righteous, that he judges righteous, not the one who says that he is righteous, but the one that God judges righteous. He's going to spare them, and that he is not going to spare the destruction of those that are ungodly. Peter takes up two accounts in the Old Testament. One was the day of Noah, and the other was the day of Abraham and Lot. You're familiar with Noah, the flood, the widespread ungodliness. A single preacher. In 2 Peter, he calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. And he preaches to all, but only those who chose to hear. Faith cometh by. Only those that chose to hear heard. Those that chose to give the word of God a deaf ear, of course, they were destroyed. Then he turns to Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's what I want to talk about today. Let me go ahead and let the subject of today's lesson be a question. Can I live saved in Sodom? Can I live saved in Sodom and Gomorrah? Can I live saved in Sodom and Gomorrah? Verse number 9 says that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. How many of us know of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? By a show of hands, you heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. That place that God rained down fire and brimstone. How do you judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Is it a bad place? Evilness? How much have you given either by your hearing or your studying to see how it was situated, where it was, what its social, economic condition was, to really get a good idea of what Sodom was all about. Now, geographically, it is in the northernmost part. It's just above Israel. If you have any idea, if you've heard of Israel. But even today, the site that is most widely historically said to have been the site of Sodom and Gomorrah is in the northern and the southern point of the Dead Sea. And it's there, and it's mostly now a desert place. It's called Sodom. there is a mountain that is called the Mountain of Sodom, a Sodom mountain. So the place still exists, but then when it was spoken of in the Old Testament, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 13. And in Genesis 13, Abraham has just been told to get up and get out. At verse chapter 13, Abraham went up to Egypt, he and his wife and all he had. Who's with him? Who? Lot. What relationship is Lot and Abraham? Uncle and nephew. Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. He got up and he got out. He's moving now. Lot is with him. He went on his journey from the south. He went to Bethel, pitched a tent. Verse number 4, he built an altar. And there he called on the name of the Lord. Verse number 5, and Lot also went with Abraham. He had flocks and herds too. He was just as well offset as his uncle was. Obviously, his uncle is looking out for him. Now the land was not able to bear them. You see verse number 6? It was too small for them. It's amazing when, I guess that describes a lot of our houses today. You got a whole lot of stuff. They had so much that the land was not able to bear them. They couldn't live together because their substance was so great. That's a good problem to have. So they could not dwell together, not because they couldn't get along, but they just had too much stuff. And that sounds like husbands and wives, that sounds like our closet, doesn't it? That's straight messy, right? Okay. And there was strife between the herdmen. Now, even though Abraham and Lot got along, their herdmen didn't get along. And, you know, Abraham said to Lot in verse number 8, now listen, you and I, we have to get along. We've got to maintain brothers. And we want what we do to one another to start flowing down to our herdmen. And then, is not the whole land before thee? And this is what he's saying to Lot now. Everything that you see is ours. Let's separate ourselves. And I'm going to take on the left, and then if you take the left, I'll take the right. He gives him the choice. If you take the right, I'll take the left. Right? Y'all with me? And whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. Lot, making the choice, lifts up his eyes, and what does he see? The plain of Jordan. And it's well watered everywhere. All right? But this plain is in what two cities? Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let's just talk about that for a minute. It will take care of us. The land will. Right? And based on what God is showing me about that land, it is suitable for me to raise my family. Is that clear here? Is he drawn to what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah at this point? No. It says that he sees water everywhere. A That's right, Regina. And based on me being who I am with what God has given me, I'm making a wise choice to now set up camp right here. Right? All right. So Lot chose him. Well, let's finish verse number 10. That says that he saw it that way before the Lord destroyed it. Okay? Even as the garden of the Lord. Now, I want to show you what else he compares this to. Did not he just compare Sodom and Gomorrah to the Garden of Eden? Look, you read it. I don't want you to say, I'm asking that. That's not rhetorical. I'm looking for an answer. He says that. Now, he is associating what he sees with something of God. Now, you can jump in anywhere now. This is double dutch. If you need to get in, just let me know, because I want to hear from you too. This is a learning moment. I'm just putting highlights on the verses of Scripture. Now, it's even as the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse number 11, Lot chose all the plains of the Jordan, and he journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abraham stayed in Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains and pitched a tent towards Sodom. Now, verse number 13. When he arrives, what does he discover? Wicked and sinners. All right? And he's not judging this himself, but he is more concerned about what they are doing before the Lord. All right? And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, I want you to lift up your eyes one more time, Abraham, and I want you to look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For everything that you see, I'm going to give it to you. And it's going to be thy seed forever. See, you have to really be critical right here. Because one of the directions he looked, who has just taken up residency there? Lot has. Right? We really got to lay a foundation here, because God's giving it to Abraham to father the seed of faith. I know you've been told these stories and you get this set up in your head about Sodom and Gomorrah and you want to just look. You got to see what God is doing with everything in every situation. Let's draw some conclusions here. Your nephew just went in the direction of a land in which I'm going to give you and continue the household of faith. So in a sense, disciples of Christ in this room, Lot is actually pioneering. He's going before Abraham. All right? He is preceding the movement in the direction that God just tells Abraham, I'm going to move you into. He says, verse number 16, I'm going to make your seeds as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then he shall your seed also be numbered. Number your seed. Now this is what he tells him to do. Get up and walk through the land, the length of it, the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Now, literally walking all the way around, and by the time he get back, he may be an old man. That's a lot of area, but tells him to walk it. And Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron. All right. Now we got a little background here now where We're seeing Solomon in a different light. We're seeing it as a part of God's plan, as opposed to just being that Sodom and Gomorrah that God just burned down because they were all just so sinful. We're seeing it in the light of it being a part of God's plan. Now, that you read about Sodom, what's your opinion of Sodom and Gomorrah? Form a real opinion about Sodom and Gomorrah when it is placed inside of God's plan. This is important, because if I'm going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah as being a seat of widespread sinfulness, idolatry, sexual promiscuity, and all of this ugly ungodliness, then I'm going to have to do the same thing to Fayetteville, Alabama. You're going to have to do the same thing to Decatur, Alabama, Hartselle, Alabama, and whatever Bama you live in whatever state you live in the United States. As a matter of fact, any place that you live on this world, because where is there a place that there is not those that are defying God? If we're going to judge Sodom as being that, then that neighborhood that you think is so nice and neat, gated or ungated, set aside or otherwise, it is as repulsive as Sodom is. Because all of the activities that's going on in Sodom, oh my God, let's think about today. Now, when you take some opinion about the land, let's take some opinion about Lot. What's your opinion of him? Abraham's nephew, upstanding, honoring, acknowledging God in his ways, blessed in his substance by God. Amen. And he honors his uncle. When his uncle come to him and say, "We got a problem," he doesn't say, "Well, it ain't my herdsman, it's yours." Or, "They better get over it." Or, he doesn't make himself privileged as those who are younger than us today make us feel like we are obligated and they are privileged. Is this clear? We got a problem. Yes, Uncle Abraham. It's not going to be good for us to continue on because there's too much dissension, not among us because we good, but those in whom we are responsible for, that's not good. Because that seed is sown and it's going to grow. And we're going to be overseeing just a big chaotic mess. Now, I want you to narrow that down to your household, your address. If you don't deal with dissension, strife, and arguments, that stuff will be as a seed and it will take over everything that God blessed you with. Until your house of prayer will become a house of hell. You got to deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you. I think it's wonderful that the communication between Lot and Abraham is so good, which makes solving the problem easy. If the head can come together, talk back to me. The body is going to line up. But if the head, how can we expect them to do better when? That's why the scripture takes the time to let you know that Lot and Abraham had good fellowship. They were able to walk together in agreement. As we move forward, until we get the head together, and it's going to take more than some Tylenol. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some selflessness. Stop being selfish if you want things to get better. Somebody got to take the high road, and someone has to take the low road. But in the end, this thing's going to be worked out. I like the way Lot, who's in charge, gives the option to his subordinate. That's a show of good God leadership when you don't always take your position and push everybody else, smush everybody else in the face with it. Let's try to find a good, that's a good simple way to put it. Y'all get what I'm saying? Let's explore some ways that Lot could, that Abraham could have went to Lot. Lot, we got a problem. We're getting along. We're fine. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take everything that you got. You get up and you move out. Well, where do you want me to go? Just anywhere but here. Well, he's in a position with that kind of authority, but wow, how's Lot going to walk away? Unc was really a little rude with that, wasn't he? You know, there is a way to communicate, and there is a way to be respected in the leadership position and in the head position so that you make everything run smooth. After all, if you want to be in charge for real. Selflessly. Abraham, it's all yours. It doesn't make any difference what you give Lot. It's still yours. How am I going to be given a wife and then be jealous because my wife becomes successful? Now, that's pretty dumb if you really ask me. Did not Jesus Christ tell his disciples, and imagine him fixing his mouth to say this, greater things than this will you do? Well, somebody said, well, how are they going to do that? And he, Jesus, he's the Son of God. Number one, they're going to be given more time to do it. Jesus had 3 years to build his ministry and bring it to perfection, and then he died. They're going to get old. You're going to have more time to do more. You're going to be in front of more people. But I'm setting an example with you now so that you can deal with it. When you see those that are under you, take their talent and multiply it. Keep them undergirded with prayer and you keep them encouraged. Clap your hands right there. Because after all, I expect everything that I pour into to do greater. But you all know we're in a time now where we will actually get jealous of those that we've taken the time to deposit into. And we. Yeah. You tell them to do something and then they do it well. Well, you ain't doing that. I wouldn't did it. Well, they're just following what you. In our modern day, as men and women of faith, here's the question I want to ask you now. as Abraham and Lot has to separate their way, this man has just been given a compass in his moral judgment. All of our decisions is based on what we set up in ourselves. When we make decisions ourselves, like Lot has to make a decision, which direction am I going to go? Where am I going to raise my family? How am I going to do it? I want to ask you a question. What are our deciding factors? Lot sees something that he sees God in. He sees God in it from a distance. Does he know what all it's going to involve at this point? Nope. But isn't he doing just like his uncle Abraham? Let's talk. Chapter 12, get up and get out to a land that I'll show you. At some point, Lot asked Abraham before they got to chapter 13 in verse 12, I believe that he asked them, hey, son, I don't know, but the Lord will lead us. He'll order our steps. When Lot looks at Sodom, then now he is just simply setting out to conduct himself the same way that his uncle does with God. He sees God in it. We can't tell our sons, our daughters, everything to do, but they can watch us trust God. So when it comes time for them to make the decisions, they don't try to find someone to argue with or someone to disagree with. They find someone that they can pray with and stand in agreement with. Living saved in Sodom. 2 Peter, let's go back to our pilot chapter. In the verses we read, describes Lot as a righteous man, but he was distressed. Have you ever got there and say, Lord, I should have stayed. I should not have come. I have. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I've gotten there. And now I got to start processing some stuff. But I didn't leave for no selfish reasons. I left because I trusted God. Come on, y'all. Let's talk about this. When Lot gets there, him being a righteous man, and why is he righteous? Because God called him righteous. He became distressed by the corrupt conduct and all of the lawless people in that land. So now let me ask you a question. Did he like it when he got there? No. No. Is the house that you live in right now everything that you thought it was going to be? When you first got there, it was everything. And now it's lacking. Is it because you're not grateful? Nope. It's now that you've got a closer look and it's having to be a part of the process of your day-to-day life and your relationship with God and those that you're responsible for. That may be a good place for you to maybe come up off yourself a little bit. Don't be so hard on yourself. After all, I walked in here by faith. Was I trying to prove something when I got here? Trying to be like the Joneses? Trying to do, no, I came here because I believe that this is what God wanted me to have. But then when I get here, it's lacking. When I see that corrupt conduct and lawlessness in that land, all I can see is, well, I couldn't see this from over there. Regina, you're in real estate. I don't care how much they inspect that house. They hid something. Something we ain't gonna disclose. There is something about Sodom that is not disclosed. It looks good. Water, just like Eden. But there is something that's not disclosed. Something. Huh? 2 weeks at Ground Point. Air conditioner went out upstairs in the heat of summer. It's working good to start with. You know what? We know what we used to do to transmissions too, don't you? Make them run smooth for a little while. I'm not saying nobody did nothing, but I'm just saying maybe it was time to go Lot is like a lot of other biblical figures. They have to navigate through challenging landscapes. Wasn't easy for Noah, wasn't easy for Adam. Adam got in the Garden of Eden and he had to navigate. Eden was perfect in its way, but Eden had something in it that Adam had to navigate around, and the only way he would navigate around it was to be obedient to God. We have challenges. You're going to have complexities. You think some bad stuff, some things went askew in 2024. Some stuff that's going to mess up in 2025 too. But if you come in here with the right headspace, you can navigate through this. As a matter of fact, you did so well in 2024 that you should be experienced now. Can I use you, John? I'm finna use you anyway. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna fix some chitlins and I'm gonna fix some turnip greens and I'm gonna fix all that. Go ahead, fix it, and you're gonna be laying in this bed I'm laying in. Because my experience have let me know that I've gotta navigate around some stuff. It's here, but it's not for me. I ain't got nothing against it. Have it. But she was just teasing him now. Regina's just teasing. She was just cutting up with him. But his response, y'all remember what his response was? Yeah, and you can have his bed. Because just as sure as the Lord get me out of here, I'm going to leave some, I can navigate around some stuff. Did he navigate around it? Didn't have no problem at all. But that was a day that he would have just hit it head on. But through your experiences, through my experiences of the former times, I know now, God, you brought me into an uncharted 2025. Ain't nobody been here. Anybody been here before? You been on a January the 5th, 2025 before? Nope. But I learned in 2024 how to navigate around some things. The stuff that bring me pain, things that bring me hurt, things that leave me where God have blessed me, now I can't seem to get the most out of it. Lot, just like others, and we can learn from him, just like 2 Peter said, God let this be told. And that's why I have to stay away from all of that theological stuff, because they want to make this like it's mythological. It didn't really happen. Happened or not, Peter said it was done for an example. Meaning, pay attention to it, look at it, and learn from it. Ask me, did it happen? It happened. Now, they say that it was obviously a meteor that was 10 times the power of Hiroshima. In other words, a star fell on Sodom. And that's what, you know, where it say it rained down fire, they say a meteor hit it, Tracy. Call it what you want to. Meteor, star, the moon, Mars, Jupiter. It did what God said it was going to do. It went up in smoke. I believe it. Doesn't matter how he did it, Eddie. It was done. And he said it was going to happen. Just like they say the Red Sea, the most miraculous thing about it is that the water that Pharaoh's army drowned in didn't go any farther than knee deep. That's what's told, that that area has never been like deep, like a lake or an ocean or sea, that it was so miraculous that they walked across, the children of Israel, then when he came across Pharaoh with all of his armies, they drowned in what a kid could have walked through. Don't matter, whatever. Slip in the tub. When God says it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. We're living in a life that's challenged by complexities, and part of that's gonna involve our human nature. I have always taught, don't stop gambling, don't stop the sale of alcohol, don't worry about drugs, fentanyl, and nothing else. Fortify yourself. Do y'all know what fortify mean? Build yourself up so that you can say no. You're not about to stop what's going on in this world, because this world is about to be this world. Oh, the casinos coming to Alabama. You might not live to see them, but they're coming. And you are not going to be any more a gambler then than you already are. Thank you. Liquor store across the street, they're not going to bother me. You can put weed on sale. I ain't interested. Two for a dollar. Don't matter. Huh? You got to fortify yourself. Now, God, there is some stuff that can come up that I need heaven and all of his angels. Somebody say names. Name one up. Cheetos at night beside my bed. Don't shake your head, because you know it's the truth. M&M's. I need the Lord to help me through. I got my problems right here. Because if I'm going to talk about somebody that's buying the joint, I'm sitting over here with all this cholesterol, with these potato chips and Cheetos and M&M's and stuff. And I mean, you talking about a craving at night when I hit that bed, my everything say snack. I can be walking around fine, want nothing, but as soon as I get horizontal in that bed, boy, snap. We all got our things in our human nature inbred in us that we got to deal with. But what am I telling you to do? Fortify yourself. Fortify yourself. Create different practices so that you can have good habits. Now that puts us all in the same boat, right? Can't no pot can't call the kettle black. No big eyes and little eyes, big T's and little T's. Everybody in the same boat. We are all dealing with. We got challenges. Complexities of our human nature. We got to make some difficult choices, and we got to have some kind of compass so that our spiritual journey can be a good one. Now, the next part of this teaching, once Lot saw what it was, y'all got to talk to me back on this one. Why didn't he leave? He continued to maintain his residency. Why? Then when he saw what it was, didn't he leave? His choice to stay intrigues me. Once you saw what it was, you chose to stay there until the point that you got grieved by all of this ungodliness. That's what 2 Peter said. Well, he was grieved. You were distressed living here. Why didn't he leave? And that's the same thing that's going to help us too, because all of us hadn't left. We stayed there. All right. There's an answer. It says, because I'm still trusting in the Lord. I was trying to figure out how was I going to approach this story, but I really wanted to let it be an example. But the only way that you can really approach and learn something from the scriptures is you've got to take it. You've got to take it in context. You've got to broaden when you read that verse, you got to know that that is supporting what has already been said and will support what is to be said. So when you look at it, let's talk about just a few things as to why he didn't leave, and then I'll be finished. When he got there, it's almost like it was when you came in to worship at church. When you got baptized and you got saved, that was God's house. And you didn't come in judging people. You came in because you love God. I'm preaching. You didn't know what sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so was doing. You didn't know. You didn't hear nothing. You weren't listening to none of that stuff, what they were saying about the preacher. You just love God. You was just glad to be saved. But the longer you stayed, the more you heard. Am I telling the truth? Come on now, Cassie. When we first got saved, we just wanted to love God. We just wanted to be his servant. But then as we got there, we started seeing that all that glitters, it ain't gone. You finally heard sister so-and-so say her first cuss word, and you thought, oh my God, Lord, you on your way back. Mother so-and-so done cussed. Yeah. You got in there, and then you was minding your own business, and there go Deacon so-and-so coming out the back door. Oh my God. The longer you stay there, the more you see. But if you do what Eddie said, stay fixed on trusting God. Now that you see stuff, you're going to start also hearing things. That's going to require you to start choosing sides. Because there ain't no place that is as cliquish as the church. Oh, you talking about cliques, factions. Oh, you ain't seen them till you come to the church house. Because they be communicating with that invisible force with each other throughout there. They know what to do and how to maneuver. Oh, I call it witchcraft. That spirit of manipulating people without moving a muscle. You got in there, and all of a sudden, when you came in, you just start feeling uncomfortable because people were looking at you like, what are you doing here? Oh, and they'll remind you what you were before you came to church, too. I know you before you got here. They'll tell you about your mom and your dad. I know your folks. Then you start getting wind of all of this gossip going on. Y'all starting to feel me here? Lot got into Sodom, and when he got in there, he saw it for what it really was worth. And all it glittered. But at the same time that was happening, what was he doing in his household? He was setting up strong family ties. Fortifying himself. Making them strong. His wife and his family. They got connected to people in the city, not based on judging them, but based on just human kindness. Got some sugar? I need some meal. You set up ties with people. People don't show their face right off. They got to bait you in first. Look, don't y'all scare a lot off, but we're going to have them inducted soon. Don't y'all scare him off. Give him time. He got great substance. Why didn't he leave? Number one, he didn't leave because of cultural and societal obligations. He got locked in, Tracy. Loving God and just being a God-fearing person. You connect to other people. But after you take on some of these friendships, you learn that a lot of times you got to start cutting back when you start seeing what people are really worth. I'm not judging you, but that's just not my cup of tea. Let's just play a scenario. They got together, and the men who were leaders in the city, they would always sit at the gate. We're going to get to that soon. I got to get on there now. And they would sit out there, and at first, you know, when they talk, Lot would be talking about God and his Abraham, and then they say, man, when we get out tonight, we're gonna bend a corner. We're going to do what? We're going to bend a corner. You going with us, Lot? Now I'm going on to the house. I'm trying to make something that's really real. Then, after that hit us, man, we got to go home, and we ain't going to say nothing about that. It ain't that we hiding anything. It's just that we chose that we don't want that to deal with. But just because you don't talk about it don't mean that it's not happening. Am I teaching? Women, when y'all get together and they go for tea, are they going to go and they going to get their nails done and you sit in there? Oh, if you want to hear it, get in the nail shop. Get in the beauty salon. You'll discover that all that glitters really ain't gold. Because if it's going to be said, it's going to be said at the beauty shop, at the nail shop, while you're getting your feet done. Just like the barbershop. Huh? And you don't even bring that mess home. You just say, that ain't got nothing to do with me. That's a society, people. That's the society that we live in. That kind of stuff goes on. Next, there are some economic reasons. This man has made investments. God gave us talents, one talent, one two, and one five. And you're supposed to put those talents to an exchange. Did not that man go in and start making investments? Absolutely he did. He had some economic reasons as to why he stayed. It would be me being not a good steward to now take up everything that I have and just abruptly move. We got to take under consideration interest rates. Huh? Man, if I'm at a low interest rate, if I sell now, there's no way that I'm going to get this rate again. Y'all can make the translations from then to now. You understand what I'm saying? I'll upset people's lives that work for me. I'll destroy their family. So-and-so just had a baby. All of these things, economic and security reasons. That's why Lot didn't leave. And then, as I said before, gradual decline, meaning when you see stuff, it don't just hit you in the face. You look around until soon you see, wow, this place is just corrupt. Huh? You start seeing things. Then another reason that he didn't leave is because of divine intervention. And that is Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis 19, let me get over there. Let me see how much we're going to read of this. Just do it like this. There were two angels that came to Sodom in the evening. Where was Lot sitting? Because that's where leaders gather. Can you switch back to 18? Look at verse number 1. This is Abraham. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. That's his uncle. Huh? He's doing what he has seen by example. When Abraham, verse number 2, you in chapter 18, when he lifted up his eyes, he looked and lo, there were what? Verse number 2. Three men standing by him. And what did he do?
He
And then what did he do? Go to 19. Lot is sitting at the gate in Sodom. And as he said it, stated at gate in Sodom, verse number one, the angels that appeared to him, what did he do? And did the same thing. Somebody say the same thing. The same exact thing. He recognizes the presence of God. Let me go and tell you some reasons why I can stay saved in Sodom. It's because God keeps coming in here. And if God comes in here, where two or three assemble in my name, he said, I'll be a God in the midst. It don't make any difference now. Y'all gonna make me go and get through. Where I am, and me to go ahead and throw in a towel and think that I got to get up and get out. As long as the Lord comes here and I can bow down before him, I can adore him and exalt his most holy name. This man is in a position where he can say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Does he show any shame in his game when they came? I don't know what y'all come to do. But y'all look at Lot. Lot, if you keep doing that, there's a possibility that some of those ungodly people in Sodom might follow you. But you got to keep on doing it. I'm blessing him at all times. I don't care where you go and who you are around. Maintain what God put inside of you. Bro, you need me to put this out? No. I can just move on around and get downwind. Enjoy yourself. Huh? Well, we knew you was coming. We didn't want to break out the drinks. Fine by me. Let me see what you got. See what it is. No, I don't drink it. Huh? He bowed down before him and he said, verse number two, behold now my lords. Now, let me show y'all how we just said that he is aware of all that stuff that's going on. He rushes them in the house. Y'all, no, don't sit down here. Come on, let me get you a more comfortable seat. Come on in. Because he's aware of his surroundings. Do y'all see that? He turned to them and he said, behold, my lords, turn in, I pray you. He begged them, come in my house. Huh? He know that inside, as for me in, we will. See what I'm saying? Now, out here, this is in the commonplace. And I don't know what they may do out here. But as for me and, so come on into my house. Stay tonight. Wash your feet. Rise up early. Then you can go your way. And they said, now these are the angels. Nah. We're going to stay right out here in the streets. Now being that they are divine, that means that they already know where they are, don't they? And they know their surroundings, don't they? But they are on a assignment. Lot just don't know it yet. Lot, we've been sent by God to get you. We come in here to get you out. And we're going to stay right here. As a matter of fact, watch this now. The last reason that Lot didn't leave is because we have to wait for God's revelation. The same thing waiting we walked in faith. You wait until God reveal. Wait until he shows you. And he'll tell you, I'm helping somebody in 2025. He'll tell you when it's time to make your next move. Are y'all learning? Lot doesn't know that yet. They says, no, we're going to stay here. But he learned how to be submissive to those that are over him. So he went back in verse number 3 and asked one more time, humbly. And when he asked this time, they went in with him. Are y'all with me? Look at verse number 3. He entered into the house. He made them a feast. Baked what kind of bread? Unleavened bread. That means that this man is upholding the practices of a household of faith. Unleavened bread. He's not eating the bread that they eat. He's eating the bread that he's supposed to eat. And where is he? In Sodom. In the house. In his house. This man is living saved in Sodom. I said to myself, this is going to be one of the most controversial messages, but I love the Holy Spirit. You can argue with this all you want to, but the truth stands. This man is living saved in Sodom. Same as we are. And my house is not just 1676. When I'm at 119, I live saved. When I'm at 457, I'm living saved in Sodom. When I'm watching a movie in the movie house, I'm living saved in Sodom. Wherever I am, I'm living saved in Sodom. But before they lay down, verse number 4, the men of the city. Now, y'all know that the devil don't pull no punches. This is what I want you to know in 2025. You can have the devil at bay, but that don't mean that he's not going to push. Somebody say the devil is going to push. In 2025. Oh, he gonna push. Just because you tell him, leave me alone, and you think, I told him something, and then you turn around and run right into him. Didn't I just leave you back there? Yeah, I'm over here too. Look at what these men did. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, they compassed the house around. Old and young men. Now, they didn't mince this. They didn't say the people. They said the men. And I'm going to teach it just like it is. Both old and young men. All the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men that came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Now, I have tender ears here, but y'all got to, and I want to say it, but I want to say it so that they can learn this is for sexual promiscuity. When they say know them, the word know in the Old Testament always mean consummation of two people. We want to know them. Y'all with it? And Lot went out the door unto them, shut the door behind him. What is he trying to do? Do what? Protect them. He don't even want them to hear this conversation. Sometimes I have to pull people to the side because I don't need y'all to hear what I'm about to say. Because I may, he don't realize how holy and divine they are at this point. But sometimes I do have to tell people, y'all ever had to pull somebody to the side and tell them? In a language that they can understand what you're saying. No, I'm not trying to tell you to cuss nobody out. I'm just saying you got to communicate what you mean so that they can understand. And all you're getting, get an understanding. I've told you to leave my child alone. Behold now, he says, I have two daughters. Now here is the real controversial one. That you've got to take in context of biblical times. They are virgins. I'm going to bring them out to you, but please leave the men that have come to visit me alone. Now, how are y'all going to judge Lot on that one? That's a little disturbing to a lot of people. That's a little disturbing to a lot of people. Can I help you tonight? Today. It's in my pocket. Because I knew I wasn't going to remember where, what chapter and verse. But I got it right here. Genesis 22. When God gave me revelation, sometimes I have to write things down because I know that that's where I'm going to have to go. And if I need to go there, God, you'll send it in. Genesis 22. Now, Cassie said she has a problem with it, and she's the only one that said it. Because this man just said, don't bother the men. Take my two daughters. Right? You in Genesis 22, you need to be there. Because this is the one you really need help with. You ready? And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. And he laid it up on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand. Somebody already knows. She done took her glasses off. And a knife. And him and his son, and that fire and that knife, they went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, here I am, your son of promise, the one that God told you that you was going to have in your old age. I'm him. I'm Isaac. I'm your son of promise. He says, behold, daddy, I see the fire. I see the wood. But it's one thing, daddy, that I don't see. I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound his son Isaac. Isaac is 13 years old. But you know what he has trained his son up to do? Fear God. He didn't fight him. At 13, Derek, how old are you? 15, 16? Boy, they're going to have a hard time tying you up, bro. And especially when you see a fire and some wood, what we building the fire for? And you think I'm just going to give myself to this? But when you've been raised to fear God, I told you I was gonna, the Lord going to help you. I ain't helping you. It's already here. I know what you're saying. And Abraham built the altar, and he laid the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand to do what? To kill his son. And Lot reached for the door to open it to give up the daughters. Now you need to go back and see what happened. Don't live in suspense. Go back and see what happened when Lot got ready to open the door for his daughters. Because we know what happened for Abraham. He saw a ram in the thicket. Huh? They snatched. I like that. They didn't pull him. They didn't reach for him. They didn't call him. They snatched him. All God want to know is, in this case, is there anything that you have that's too good for me? It's not that I want it. I just want to know, how do you feel about it? Now, you got to realize and recognize, he recognizes the angels as being the same thing that God is to Abraham when he gets ready to sacrifice his son. When you go into the interior of the days before you, if you got something that you have on reserve that you're not willing to sacrifice, you might ought to stay in 2024. God don't want your tithe. He don't want your offering. He just want to know, are you willing to just give a little of what you have? Are you willing to let love start to germinate and process through giving? Selflessness. Do you have as big of a problem as you had before? You got to have a whole lot of trust, because one of us in here are ready to tie our sons up and offer him up for a sacrifice, and we're really not ready to open the door for our daughters to go out and be taken. Now, is God going to expect this of you? That's all we can do. But at the same time, if we set ourselves up before the Lord, we'll say, God, there is nothing that I have that's not already yours. I hope everybody was helped right there, because that's all I needed to do in that verse right there, was just to say to you that when this comes, before you judge that man, you got to know divine intervention and timing has to have its place as we move forward. So that when you are ready to prepare yourself to say, God, I give it all, God comes in with a ram in the thicket. Huh? Let me go back to the chapter so we can read more. And they came to the place. Wait a minute. Genesis 22. Genesis 19. Behold, I have two daughters, verse number 8, bring them out to you. And verse number 9, I'm sorry. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need to be judged. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. Okay, I left that out about how they told Lot, if you don't get out of the way, we're gonna rape you too. But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot. Lady Cassidy say they snatched him. And then what did they do? After they snatched Lot back in, they shut the door. Watch this. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out to this place. We're about to take over. Since you won't give us what we want, we're going to take everything. See how he was just threatened? And Lot went out and spake unto his sons. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm missing. I'm getting lost. Bring out to this place. Verse number 13. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord had sent us to do what? Lot, we came here to get you, because we're about to drop that meteor that historian is going to say it was dropped on Sodom. We come here to set this place on fire. But we wanted you to see that it has really nothing to do with you. You have been sent before your uncle Abraham to pioneer this land. The presence of the Lord has been in this place. It's this place that choose not to accept what God has to offer. Are y'all hearing me, what I'm saying today? Y'all look up for a minute. You've got to know when to shake the dust from your feet. And God will tell you when that time comes. You've got to know when you've done all that God assigned for you to do. Now, the reason that I know that Lot was submissive to these angels is because as soon as they told him, you got to go, he went to get all of those in his household that were not there already. He went out to talk to his son-in-laws. You never heard that before, did you? You ever asked why was his daughters and his wife with him, but his son-in-laws were not with him? It's because when he went to talk to them, they were too attached. Even though they had been raised in the admonition of God, They got to make a choice themselves. And you know what they chose to do? Stay. Look at it right there, verse number 14. Lot went out, spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and he said unto them, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. He is preaching what was preached to him. These are not my words. These are the words of God. We got to get out of here. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They just, man, get on somewhere. We're living it up. This is life for us. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot. What that mean? What does your verse say they did to Lot? I want to hear what your Bible said. What translation y'all reading? What did they do? What did the angels do to Lot? Verse number 15. Hurried him up. What does it say, Regina? They hastened him. Any other words? Yep. No, who did they leave out? They already know. They're not coming. But don't you let that hold you. The same faith that had you coming in here, I want you to leave yet that same faith. Stop trying to save folk that don't want to render themselves saved inside them. Yes, sir.
Two daughters were virgins.
Two daughters were virgins. Oh, okay. Good observation. They had already written off the family, huh? Whatever they were doing, they weren't married yet. How did you discover that? Help us, because it could be an oversight on my part. I'm only basing it on saying that was his sons-in-law in verse number 14. Yeah, so that happens with translations. Yeah, so her translation, I don't know which one that is, it say going to marry, yeah. So going to be married, so that's where she got it. The translations will sometime. We're mature enough to stay with the story. At any point, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well,
no, I'm just saying they had to go, he had to go find them, so they weren't in his
dwelling place, right? And as you're pointing out, and as Eddie pointed out, well, they had already,
offered up your voice,
yeah,
and were not,
right? Okay, so the angels tell him, you take your daughters and your wife and move on. My point there is, when God tells you to, specifically, by his divine approach to you, in his relationship with you to move on, don't try. He says, if you're on the rooftop, stay there. Don't go down and get anybody out. Now, I know that we have a love for people. When God tells you to move on, now, 16, while he lingered, the men laid hold on his hand. Now, in other words, Lot is slow getting ready. And they got the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto you. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, it would depend on your experience with God. This is rather rapid and I won't get into detail, but I've had an experience where I'm one place and when I come to, I'm in another place. This is happening very rapidly. This is not like you got a lot of time. But it says now in this case, he brought them out and it says that they were there. And verse number 17, It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee. What did he tell them to do? Don't look back. Don't stay in the plains. Go to the what? Mountains. And Lot said unto them, what? Don't make us do that. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. He's afraid to take the journey. It's not easy to walk away, people. He's telling them, even though I know what's about to happen, I don't have it in my human nature to just walk away. Verse number 20, behold, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. They tell him, notice how God comes, and he is understanding, Tracy, of what we have to deal with. They say, it's a little city, but I want you to go there. And he said unto them, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing. I'm in verse number 21 also, that I will not overthrow the city for which thou hast spoken. Hast thee escaped thither? For I cannot do anything. The angels is telling them, until you get out of here, we are on an assignment. We cannot destroy this city until you get out. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. When he got into the safe space, then the Lord did what? Rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire, and he overthrew those cities. Now, they're at a safe distance. I want y'all to kind of catch this, because when it's preached, you kind of hear it in a different way. Where do y'all think Lot's wife looked back? You thought when she got where she was going? How many of y'all thought that she looked back on her way out? You kind of imagine her looking back as they were going out, right? They had already reached the safe space, but they were still in a place where they could see what God was doing. Are y'all with me? In verse number 25, he overthrew the cities. He had told them, don't look back, and all of the plain and all of the inhabitants of the city which grew up on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. What do y'all think about that? She never let the place go out of her heart. When God said, let it go. Now, pillar of salt simply means that she was just, it doesn't, let me tell you a couple of ways. Let me say it this way, and I'm closing on this point. Some people are just stuck. They're here, but they can't go forward, because they're just stuck on the past. And you can't go forward looking backwards. While you go to the interior 2025, if there's anything, and there's other things I could say, but I want to make this a closing point. If you want to be successful and you want God to really just move you on, grow you up, and mature you, you cannot keep focusing on past failures, what you used to have, what you think you lost, all of those things. She couldn't let her be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If God puts you in a safe space, exist in that safe space. I brought you here because I want to move you on. I didn't bring you here for you to sulk over what you lost. If all we're going to talk about is, Lord, my sons, I lost them back in time. We can't move forward. We can't have no more sons if we're going to talk about the sons we lost. Now, what did she just do to Lot by not doing what the angel said? Him being connected to her, she just put her husband in a precarious situation. Because now he don't have a wife, and he's left there with his daughters that are virgin. Where were they born? In Sodom. I'll just leave it. I'll drop that right there, and I'll let y'all go on. She's the one, you know, this is almost like a trespass. It's not just what Lot's wife did to herself. It's what she did to her husband. It's because God brought us out together, told us to obey him. If we gonna walk together, we gotta both obey God. Now that's just teaching and look forward. You know? Okay. 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 That's right. That's behind you. Okay. Okay. That's right. And it applies right now. That if we could keep, we will become stuck right here. Now, y'all got to know how God works. Now, it don't mean that you're going to get stuck. Here's what happens. God going to keep blessing, but you're not going to have the peace with what he's blessing you with. Why? Because you are stuck. Now, here I am in here, and I'm praising and being thankful, and you sitting over there looking like sauerkraut treated you wrong. Because all you want to think about is what we don't have and what we lost that you can't even see what God's doing right now. Somebody say, I'm in a safe place. I was saved when I was in Sodom. Now, he still got some tumultuous road to come to, Tracy, because his daughters is about to violate him. But that's because that's a product of what they came out of. If Lot's wife had been there, he could have raised them up a little bit better. But now he's absent of that mother presence. All they think about is one thing, that's procreation. We got to save our name. Got their father drunk because they knew how to do it. They raped him and they had sons, but I can't leave it there. Their offspring was a Moabite by the name of Ruth, and Jesus Christ came out of that incestuous relationship. That's where I'm going to leave it right there. So before you look back at it and turn your nose up like you was going to turn your nose up at homosexuality, I do too. But incest, God is going to get the glory out of whatever it is. You ain't going to stop God's plan. He had sons by both of his daughters. One of them was named Ammon, the other one's named Moab. And the Ammonites are from Ammon, and the Moabites are from Moab. And while Ruth was gleaning, the Moabites, David's great-great-grandmother, Ruth, Moabite. That's it. That's all. God's going to get the glory. He had a plan, and he's going to see it through. That's why you can't look over yourself to call your life condemned when God called your life blessed. don't care who your mother and your daddy was, your family and anything else that went on. I got a problem, y'all, with this curse going down through generations. Every curse has been destroyed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You gonna tell me that I'm an alcoholic because somebody else in my family was an alcoholic? I had some uncles that I didn't see them unless they was drunk. Now I'm gonna sit up and drink because my uncle was. The devil is a lie. Now, is your genetic makeup and how you want to process one single cell, you gonna tell me that's greater than the blood of Jesus Christ? The devil's still a liar. I may be predisposed to high blood pressure, diabetes, and everything else, but that don't mean that I have to give myself over to it. Fortify. While I said somebody, people around you, stuff bother you, you don't have to excuse yourself. If you know you predisposed and you got a problem with that, you be the bigger one. Y'all don't leave. I move. Huh? Let's go into this in a good mind space, people. Let's be prepared to get into that safe space. I hope today you've been blessed. Anybody with any questions? Y'all talk to me. Talk back to me. I enjoyed that one. I hope y'all enjoyed it too. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I really do. When I first read it, I'm going to tell you, until God revealed, I had a problem. I just couldn't answer that one, Eddie. Man, why you get your daughters? Because I know how I am. You know, man, certain way about his daughters. And that would be, seem to me, the last thing that you would do. You notice that he didn't say his wife, but he said his daughters. That was the sacrifice. That was what was meaningful. I'm not saying that his daughters was more important to him than his wife. I'm saying that he wanted to give a legible sacrifice. Whew, man, that's deep. Like lambs. I like that. Never thought about that. Not sheep, but like lambs. Without spot or blemish. He offered up the same thing that God offered when he offered Jesus Christ. Thank you, Eddie. Lambs. Maybe that's the reason that they call them virgins. See that? So that we could see the God in it. His wife wasn't a virgin. Couldn't be. Why? She had two daughters. But he offered up something that no man had ever touched because he was doing it for God. Thank you, sir. Thank you for pointing out the virgin. That's where it come together. All of that come together. It's for our own understanding, for an example to us. Amen. Anybody else with anything? That was a little long. This is the first Sunday. Y'all give me a pass. All right. But what we learned in here, you guys, you got to put this stuff to, you got to put it to practice. Or it ain't, it's going to be like, you know, medicine don't help you in the bottle. You gotta put it in and let it work, okay? All right. I can't think of anything that I have to announce. It's about to be cold. Please govern yourselves based on, we just had a sermon a couple of weeks ago about winter coming. I don't care what it looked like. That's right. And so be guided by it. If they've given you this much of a notice ahead, instead of slipping and sliding and being without bread, go get your bread and milk today. Don't wait till the day before. Don't wait till the panic. Go on today while ain't nobody paying no attention, because when they tell you in the next 24 hours, you ain't going to be able to get any anyway. Get some bread and some milk today, if that's you, the bread and milk people. What? Toilet paper. That's right.
Tissue.
Toilet tissue, Eddie says. And don't forget, and get all of your necessities, whatever you require. Don't wait until that come on. Go ahead, and if they're saying this, then if you got it, trust me, it won't go to waste. That's right. And we'll see what, as they're predicting, y'all listen up. But you remember what the rule is: if you don't hear from me, service is on. But if you hear from me, I'll be telling you when we won't be. Other than that, if I don't tell you we won't be here, then we're going to be here. All right? Hope everybody had a great Christmas. It's good to see all of you all. tell Kamisha, I said, happy birthday, belated birthday. How old did she turn? Jesus. You can know. You're getting older, Jason. 30 slips up in a hurry. 35. All right. And yeah. So I'm going to go out to birthday dinner today with my granddaughter, Kai. She's born on January the 1st. So we're going to go and grab something with her, and then we're going to go home. God bless all of you. Come to your feet. To those of you that are joining us online, God bless all of you, wherever you are. We love you. Hope you've been blessed today. Encourage you to give as well. Support our broadcast and our ministry. It's always a wonderful thing to do. I love you. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless.
Behind you, bro.